Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello and welcome to the 300th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Matt Perkins. And keeping it basic tonight, guys, a quick slant across the Harpeth River from me here in the Music City. It's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
What up, what up, what up, man? We are closing in at the end of our season. We're going to throw a couple quick slants on Friday against Lawrence County in the last ever game at Hillwood High School.
The last ever game, the closing ceremonies.
The closing ceremonies of Hillwood football.
Well, we can't get started.
Why are they shutting down the program?
We're just moving under a new name, James Lawson. We're moving buildings, and the building is changing names, so Hillwood will cease to exist.
There we go.
Well, here you already see him, folks, the third amigo in the second city, a man whose favorite brand of refrigerators and his favorite traditional colonies share a name. It's our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook.
Maytag? What?
Amana, baby. The Amana colonies and Amana refrigerators.
Okay. That one went over my head right there.
Of all the people, that shouldn't go over your head, Mr. Amana Colonies. It's episode 300, which is kind of incredible. So we will do a little bit of navel gazing here in just a moment. But before
we will play clips of 300 the movie. We're just gonna play 300 the movie for this episode. So sit back and enjoy.
I've actually never seen 300 the movie.
It's not bad. Every bit of ridiculous you think it is.
Yeah. I mean, I figured as such. So, but you guys here already know that we are presented by betonline.ag. With football back and in full swing, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. They've got the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. They're your continuous source for all sports wagering info. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. They've got the fastest and easiest ways to bet all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. So head on over to betonline.ag to join today and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Gents, we are going to start back in the beginning here because it's episode 300. And I just want to say, first of all, congratulations. And thank you for putting up with me for 300 episodes. And I just wanted to ask you guys, because this has been now part of our lives for, this is our eighth season that we are in. What have been some of your sort of favorite moments and favorite things that have happened along the way, Josh?
All right, well, let's kind of do a round table. My starting at my bronze position, my third favorite thing was, as Coach knows, we like to do some impressions of coaches, yes. and none of them are particularly good. But my personal favorite was great, for Josh. Your birthday. For my personal favorite was for your birthday, Matt. I sang "Happy Birthday" with a very thick lisp like Lou Holtz, and performed it in the style of Marilyn Monroe's seductive birthday song for JFK. So that's definitely is it a highlight or a low light? So that's my bronze
medal. Who's to say that they're mutually exclusive, Josh? Coach.
I think the night I went on a medley of coaches with Coach O, Spurrier, Bowden, Lou Holtz, and I can't remember what other coach I went under, but I started and just a random high school coach.
Weirdly, you did Dave Wanstad.
Yes. I thought it was Jim Donnan, but
Go Dogs and Edie Zaxby's. Yeah, no, that was a fun one because I had a full on conversation with myself for about 5 minutes in all of these voices.
Speaking of impressions. Absolutely. All right, Josh, what's your silver?
So this is kind of a deep cut, but way back we were previewing the ACC, and one of you mentioned, like, oh, North Carolina might be a sleeper. They have a good quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. And I just, like, went off on this tangent. I was like, Mitch Trubisky? You can't have a quarterback with the name Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky's not the name of a quarterback. He's going to do nothing in the NFL. And then he proceeded to have a really good season that year for the Heels. Became a first-round draft pick.
The number two overall, something like that.
Went to the playoffs with the Bears, had the double doink, and for a while my random tangent seemed to be completely incorrect, but time has proven my random rant correct as Trubisky's struggling here with the Steelers.
I always liked it when we made fun of the ridiculous spreads that Kansas would have, even though we can't make fun of that anymore, but the Rutgers football tangents we went on, all the burying the leads, all that stuff was a lot of fun.
I always enjoy doing the Ivy League update.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
we haven't gotten one for a while.
It's been, listen, I was watching Dartmouth Penn a couple weeks ago on a Friday night because my life is that exciting. But Josh, I think we all know what number one is here. And yes. So for those of you who were who haven't been with us for all 300 episodes, let me set this up. It's the fall of 2016. On episode 74 of the Illegal Motion College Football podcast. This is mid-October of our second season of the show in 2016. What did we hear?
Oh, you know what? Clip. You know what? I'm going to double down. I'm going to make an insanely bold statement.
Do it.
The Texas Longhorns play TCU November 25th. The week before, 6 days before, on the 19th, they travel to Kansas. I think Texas is going to be looking past that game. Texas is going to have a couple wins. They're going to be feeling good about themselves. They're going to be in position for an okay bowl game. Some of the storm has even quieted about Charlie Strong. Kansas is going to stun them.
There you have it.
And the final score of that game?
And the final score of that game.
Doesn't matter. Kansas won.
Kansas won. I don't have the actual. I don't have the score of the game, but that was the nail in the coffin for Charlie Strong. That was Charlie Strong's last. That was Charlie's last season at Texas. He was fired thereafter, and they hired Josh, someone else you hated, Tom Herman.
Tom Herman. Yes. Well, what was funny too is it became a recurring bit where each time Kansas got like blown up in a game. It was. I would come in and be like, "Well, Kansas didn't care about playing Iowa State. David Beatty's got all of his focus on Texas." So it became this like
the entire season. The entire season, the joke was that you had David Beatty on speed dial.
Yeah, I still have David Beatty on speed dial.
And they were geared up for Texas. We campaigned for them to put the track back in and everything.
Oh, that was fun. No, that was. And then on episode 85, it had come to fruition. You were the official Josh Stradamus. Congratulations, Josh. But yeah, this has been just on like sort of like a personal like note and aside, like just basically an excuse to hang out with my two closest friends every week, multiple times a week has been therapeutic in a lot of ways beyond just football. So, thank you guys for 300 episodes so far, and hopefully more than 300 more. So,
hey, shout out definitely. To Kate from Maine in our Maine Minutes.
The Maine Minute. Oh, it's been a minute. Shout out to Kate in Maine.
Kate in Maine. Hope you're doing well. with 34 seconds left to go and opening all the merch. Matt's wearing.
Oh, I've got all the merch on tonight. I've got the shirt when I used to be a professor, and I used to be the professor. I've got the engraved mug with the this is only for the video audience, with the football on the bottom. You can email the show if you want some merch. We can make that happen.
Yeah.
So
we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. Absolutely.
We'll put Josh to work.
Sounds good. Actually, no. You know what? My glass guy, the guy who makes these glasses in Chicago. So.
Okay. All right.
I'm too busy. Me and David Beatty are game planning stuff.
How to beat Texas, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, let's get into what just happened over this past weekend. Because
what just happened?
I think the answer is a lot of things.
Old Dominion. That's the answer. Old Dominion. They beat Coastal. Yes. Georgia Southern. Huge win. Oh, wait. Not moving the needle, huh?
No. So what I'm going to open with. The game everyone's talked about, Tennessee, Alabama. Tennessee beats Alabama, blah, 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 blah. Was that even the best game of the weekend?
To me, yeah. Thought it was. I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. I watched every minute of it.
That's saying something, Josh. If you were watching every minute of Tennessee, Alabama, that means it has captured the...
Come on over, baby. Come on over. Come to the dark side. Well, I love it.
He's
a true Southerner.
I've always had a little soft spot for Tennessee. I got a coon hound. Smokey's a coon hound. Rocky Top's a fun song. I like
that. They don't pay their electric bills.
Not
they're doing questionable things with bears.
No, I mean, what are the contenders? You got the Okie State, TCU, that overtime shootout. You got the Utah 2-point conversion game. I mean, the whole weekend lived up to its hype. And I think what's fun is you get these kind of like 24 hours of pandemonium. And I think Tennessee, Alabama fits into that 24 hours of pandemonium. You don't want to take any one of those games out. Otherwise, it weakens a little bit of the weekend. For best game, I don't think... You know, best played, probably not. A million penalties for Alabama. They got themselves into an old-fashioned Big 12 shootout. Was it the most technically sound game ever played? No, but was it worth the price of admission? Yes. What's going to be interesting, though, is there's a very real possibility that Tennessee gets blown up by coaches' dogs and they don't make the SEC title game and Alabama represents the West with the lone loss like we all expect. And Alabama, you know, win or lose in the SEC title game, still a good chance of them making the playoffs. It could be, in hindsight, a really meaningless game. Or if Tennessee knocks off Georgia, they win the SEC, they make it to their first college football playoffs, we'll be looking back saying this is a huge game. It's sort of a wait and see. Just based on how the West just
is this a 2019 LSU situation? Is this going to be a blip on the way? Or is this going to be a what?
I mean, I'm not ready to crown them 2019 LSU yet, but we're staring down the barrel at an Ole Miss Tennessee SEC championship game. You guys realize that, right? Like,
oh, coach, my favorite scenario that I read about today is the all SEC playoff scenario. Have you seen this?
So hey, inject it into my veins right now.
So here's what happens. Tennessee loses to Georgia. And then Ole Miss loses to Alabama. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC title game. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama all have one loss. And then we have a loss from everyone else. They're the top four teams left.
Michigan and Ohio State, one of those two teams is going undefeated.
Clemson's
sitting pretty.
Guys,
Clemson's about to lose to Syracuse, by the way. You know that, right?
You guys are about to get all aboard the Bruin Express, is really what's about to happen.
Let's go. Let's
all aboard, baby. All aboard, baby. I am like, we got
Bruin Country. Let's ride.
We got Chip Kelly. We got DTR like conducting this train out here, and it is going nice and smooth after a bye week. Oh, heading for. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Right? That is appointment television for me this weekend. But let's move back to last week, because Josh, let's talk about. I want to talk about that TCU Oklahoma State game. So first of all, shout out to my cousin Douglas, who's a senior at TCU, who sent me pictures.
I told you guys TCU was going to win that game. I told you guys.
Wild atmosphere. I was watching, and it was so compelling because TCU looked so down and out, and I don't know what got into them. I don't know what's gotten into Sonny Dykes. He's just apparently moving across town has turned him into a different man, because he looks like a different man on the sidelines, coach. That's what's standing out to me. He has this different, like, he seemed downtrodden at SMU, and that's why I wasn't in on this hire. And apparently he has like gotten like an injection of life, because he's going for it. He is just rallying the dudes. And there is like
he's got somebody named Hacksaw Max Duggan. Well, I'm going to keep saying that until it sticks. You know, you guys know that, right?
I'm more interested in Quentin Johnson, in Quentin Johnson, the receiver who the physicality, might be the best receiver in the country with Jackson Smith and Jigba on the sideline, and Kayshon Boutte decided to not show up this year.
Yeah, although LSU did show up again to the Swamp, and they took care of Florida.
We got
to
be worried about Billy Napier?
No,
not first year.
No, I mean the team that he inherited was straight garbage.
Who's Anthony Richardson? Like, we don't know who he is at this point.
We don't. We don't like.
Well, maybe we do.
I feel like
we're
listening to a Slim Shady song. Yeah, he's consistently inconsistent. You don't know what the heck you're going to get each and every week. I mean, it's like, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Will the real Anthony Richardson please stand up? And we don't know who that is yet. And I don't know that it's going to get any better this year. They've got to figure something out. I don't know that he's going to finish the season. And we made a bold prediction on SEC After Dark that Anthony Richardson had the best shot of not finishing the season as the incumbent starter.
Interesting. Even though Vandy's already benched their starter in lieu of AJ Swan. And
AJ Swan he's going to be a dude.
You think so?
From what little I've seen, he's impressive. He doesn't have much around him. Doesn't have much protection.
He didn't score a single point against Georgia this weekend.
Well, I mean, come on.
Well, that's like
that was less about him and more about that was less about him and more about the fact they couldn't protect him. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't stop Georgia. They couldn't, they just couldn't do much of anything. It's just that's just a matter of Vandy's roster being depleted, and not. I mean, they play hard, dude. Like, some of the throws he made in that game were lost in the fact that the score was 55-0, and there was some, like, especially in the RPO game, he was very decisive, put the ball in some tight windows. He has a powerful arm. I mean, there's a reason why he took that job over. He's going to be a special quarterback. They just got to build around him.
All right. Well, coach's mouth to God's ears, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to just circle back to the Oklahoma State TCU game. A lot of praise given to TCU. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't highlight something that every Oklahoma State fan is yelling at their TV throughout the entire game, is routinely in these dumbfounding losses, what does Mike Gundy do? The turtle offense. Let's take the foot off the gas, Ed Turtle. They scored 24 points in the first half, just 6 in the second half. And I know TCU made some nice adjustments, but the play calling was not nearly as aggressive, not nearly as fluid.
You can't go ultra conservative.
For an offensive genius, for a former quarterback. Yeah, exactly. I guess he's been watching too much OAN because he's going full conservative with some of his play calling.
Okay, first of all, you deserve a rim shot for that joke, Josh. That is a very good callback to last summer. And secondly, Gundy strikes again, and that's why, like, I've stopped believing that Gundy will ever take this program truly over the top. It's only taken 8 years of podcasting.
Gundy-itis because I was gonna say I got your Gundy.
I've never been a Gundy believer.
I was taking them in this game.
No, I'm very glad I had TCU.
He's always the guy that's gonna put up numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had TCU. He's always the guy that's gonna put up numbers, but never really do anything substantial.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's always gonna have good pieces. Brian Ferentz.
No, well, Brian Ferentz's numbers are big. That's because
they're 131st
out of 131 in the country. That is a big number, 131. Like, I mean, come on now. No,
hey, if you ain't first, you're last.
Illustrious company, right?
But no, let's.
He took that to heart,
Coach. I want to talk though a little bit more about big picture SEC. Tennessee being obviously the biggest victory in over the weekend. What was the second most impressive victory to you over the weekend? Because I think you can make a pretty strong case it was Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Kentucky. That was a really, really good win for them against Mississippi State. I think it took a little bit of the wind out of the sails for the Bulldogs. I would also venture to say Ole Miss. It got into a game that they really didn't want to be in, where they couldn't quite put away Auburn, but they put the pedal down, and Mother Nature got a little assist from Mother Nature and had a delay and finished that one off. But LSU getting back on track, that was pretty big, and that's about it because some people were off. But obviously Tennessee is number one.
I mean, it doesn't count as an SEC game because it was non-conference, but after dropping three straight, very cathartic for Arkansas to lay the lumber to BYU.
Yeah, Arkansas. And KJ Jefferson. Forgot about Arkansas and BYU.
KJ Jefferson looking.
Yeah.
Jefferson like looking himself. healthier, at least. Probably not. Yeah.
Josh, let's talk a little bit about
looking
this.
More like himself.
Josh, let's talk a little bit more about this USC-Utah game, because that to me was a big litmus test, because USC had been winning, but it hadn't been impressive, and it finally came and bit them in the butt. But it wasn't the offense that was the problem this time. It was actually the defense, and then Cam Rising looking like the sort of like the Cam Rising that we saw in the second half of last season.
Yeah, I mean, this was USC's issue. We talked about it a few weeks ago that their defense was really a turnover producer, but give up a lot of yards between those turnovers. And if you pardon me looking down for a moment, I got the stats here. Just one turnover generated, a lone fumble by Utah. What did they do otherwise? 562 yards, 424 through the air, 138 on the ground. USC just doesn't have a championship caliber defense, whether that's a Pac-12 title or a national title. They're just not there yet. And honestly, after watching Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, I don't think Lincoln Riley ever cares to get there.
No. I think you're right. It's a weird scenario with Lincoln Riley. It's just kind of like you're trying to figure out what's going on there. And it just can't get over the hump. Just really, really can't get over the hump on that. And good for Utah. Good for Utah. Taking it physically to Lincoln Riley and the Trojans. Fight on, they shall not.
No, they shall not. One thing that happened actually a little bit before the weekend, it was Thursday night, was the Baylor-West Virginia game. Josh, should we be concerned about Baylor? Is it time to have a discussion about Baylor with your children? Like, do we need to be concerned?
No, that was a few years ago when they were going through some scandals.
No, then you could not talk to your children about that at all. That was actually completely forbidden. Now in about 14 different states,
it's actually about outlawed
to talk about that.
In the micro, sure, Baylor's not living up to expectations. In the macro, they are the defending league champions. Aranda is a fantastic coach for them. I don't think there's anything to be too worried about Baylor. They lost a lot of talent in that wide receiver core, and we've just seen that passing game kind of not gel the way we thought at times. And their defense took a little bit of a step back, but I mean, that's to be expected. They were a veteran team a season ago. So, I mean, are they not quite as good as we thought? Yes, but I'm not like sending, red flags up there. I will say, though, for West Virginia, I mean, Neil Brown needs every win he can to try and save his job. And it was a huge win for his career. I don't know what Neil Brown needs. I mean, it looked dire there a few weeks ago. I'm wondering if, if he can get 8 wins, maybe pick up a 9th with a bowl victory, he'd probably be sitting pretty at that point. But yeah, massive win for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, the Big 12 is it's a very fun league to watch because it is so like you have Iowa State taking Texas to the wire, and you know, of course, you know, getting the game handed to them. You have Oklahoma, Kansas, which was an absolute shootout. Kansas with a backup quarterback almost pulled it off, but got off to a slow start and could never recover. You have TCU, Oklahoma State, and their overtime duel. I mean, you just never know week to week who's going to win and who's going to do what. I mean, you know, Kansas State is hanging around in there. Chris Klieman has a very physical bunch there. So, you know, just each week you look and you see the matchups. Like Kansas is taking on Baylor this week. That's going to be a really good that could either be a really good get well game for Baylor and get them back on track, or this could be something that slingshots Kansas back towards the top where they were headed earlier this season. So you have Oklahoma, Kansas State, which for Oklahoma is a very, very important game because they stop the bleeding, but are they going to turn the ship back around and get going in the right direction, or it was just a temporary thing and another cut's going to sprout up somewhere else and bleed them out. So you guys like my examples, don't you? I know you do. I know you're jealous. but when you look at this league as a whole, like that's why I'm not sending any red flags, because this league is just tons of parity. And you never know each week who's going to bring their A game, who's not going to bring their A game, who's going to do what. So it's fun. I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm not sending any red flags over there.
So we've gone this far and we've alluded to it, but we haven't talked about Syracuse yet. Now they beat a Devin Leary-less NC State team.
Baylor plays Iowa. No, never mind. Kansas State already played Oklahoma. That was an old schedule.
It's Iowa State, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
This week.
Iowa State. Wrong state. Yeah, Kansas plays Baylor. all right, yeah, go for it.
Well, I mean, if...
the Dennis Leary list.
Yes.
Yeah, so
I know Dennis Leary is that's a huge loss.
I mean, it wasn't a huge loss when he left the Monday Night Football booth. But Syracuse, though.
That was Dennis Miller.
Oh, God. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Wrong Dennis who peaked in the 90s.
I mean, it was like when they lost Dennis and like they found him later on and he was in the alleyway with that homeless guy and he like made life. Oh, that's Dennis the Menace. I'm sorry. All right, continue.
What was he? He was beating up homeless people.
What? You don't remember the movie where the guy kidnaps him and like?
No,
he has the.
I did not see like Dennis the Menace movie.
Oh, okay. Where's your childhood, Matt? You got to see Dennis the Menace, dude. You're gonna have to do some deep cuts on your cinema studies here. You can't now because you're too old. But
I'm too. I have.
Is Walter Matthau was in it? He was Mr. God, what's his name?
Mr. Wilson? No, first of all, Walter Matthau hasn't been good since The Odd Couple.
Syracuse fans have been waiting for us to talk about them.
I know. So let's talk
about this. This is our 8th season.
Let's talk and about
right as Matt brings them up, we start launching on Dennis the Menace and Walter Matthau.
Okay, so
it's a great cinema classic of my childhood.
First of all, the Syracuse administration needs to, like, give themselves a pat on the back.
Get rid of Jim Boeheim?
Well, that, and give themselves a pat on the back for keeping Dino Babers around, because the one of the most impressive things to me about this run is that they've turned from being a sieve on defense. Yes, I know they were without, you know, whatever you want to call his first name, Leary, Devin Leary, but still, just to give up 9 points is impressive in and of itself. But Garrett Schrader has become Garrett Schrader this year is what I expected Brennan Armstrong to look like. And Brennan Armstrong has been terrible. The entire state of Virginia, or of Power 5 Virginia, is, the entire state of it is god-awful right now. That's a different conversation for a different time, coach. But, you know...
James Madison's in Virginia.
That's why I said Power 5. Coach,
they got upset.
Coach, what's making Syracuse's offensive tick?
Well, Schrader's leading a lot of it. Tempo. I think that Dino Babers has finally found his fit in the quarterback position. That's what he's been looking for since he's been there. Tommy DeVito is good, but it wasn't quite the fit. They didn't quite have all the pieces around him. It just, for some reason, didn't work. It's working for DeVito now at Illinois. But I think Schrader has great command of the offense and great command of the huddle. He's poised. He makes plays, makes the correct throws, and doesn't make a ton of mistakes. And their defense is clamped down a little bit, and that helps too when your defense can get you back in some good situations and not, you know, unfavorable situations where you're pinned back and your average starting field position is bad, and you know, they're giving up big plays and putting your backs against the wall, stuff like that. I think their defense is helping them too. They're playing good complementary football.
Well, this is an unfamiliar role for me because I'm usually the most glass half full person on this show because I have to sit through Iowa every freaking week. But here's my concern about Syracuse. Their schedule was not a particularly strong one to start with. And as the cookies kind of crumbled, their schedule has appeared even weaker than expected. So Louisville, 3-3, not exactly gangbuster there. Connecticut, we knew would be bad. They are, although Jim Mora has improved them. Purdue,
in December, that's a great matchup.
Yeah. Purdue, we talked about it at the time. That was the ref ball game where Purdue had about 15 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in a row there. Virginia is the worst team in the ACC. That head coaching hire, Tony Elliott, has proven to be the worst of all of the
hires. And they play Georgia Tech on Thursday. Yeah.
Wagner, FCS, a really bad FCS program, by the way, one of the worst FCS programs. And NC State without their starting quarterback. So, yeah, maybe Syracuse goes down and upsets Clemson, and I will have egg on my face.
But look at Clemson's schedule. What has their schedule been like outside of Wake Forest and a Florida State team that played well at the beginning of the game? The ACC in general is just weak. So, by default, the schedule is going to be weak.
Since you ask... Clemson has beaten Florida State, full strength NC State, who was 10th in the country at the time, and a road trip to Wake Forest. So, you know, I might be eating some crow in a week, but I'm fully prepared for
NC Clemson State still plays defense, right?
Yeah.
They do.
Devin Leary doesn't play defense.
I'm prepared, though, for Syracuse to have the brakes beaten off their team.
Coach just mentioned a former Syracuse quarterback, and that is Tommy DeVito at Illinois. Josh, I think Illinois another solid victory against Minnesota, where they were the best team throughout the entire game. There was no question about that game to me. They are clearly the best team in the Big Ten West at this point, are they not?
Very clearly they are. Yeah. For Minnesota's perspective, I think the Chris Ottman Bell injury is worse than expected. I thought they could patch things together in their receiver core.
But Josh, he's been injured like every single season he's been there. That's the thing about Otman Bell. Like, he's been injured every year.
I know. But this year was just particularly, I think it was kind of a sucker punch to the team. It was the physical injury, but also the emotional one that had hit the team. Tanner Morgan got hurt. Morgan was terrible. 4 of 12, 21 yards before he got hurt. The Illinois defense is for real. And, you know, I don't want to say it's 100% a lock. It's done. But the Illini have a tiebreaker over Wisconsin. If, I mean, this is an incredibly long shot, but if Iowa somehow woke up, which not going to happen, but they have the tiebreaker in that one. They have the tiebreaker over Minnesota. If in 3 weeks they beat Purdue, at that point it's a wrap. They've got so their schedule to wrap up is at Nebraska, Michigan State, Purdue, at Michigan, Northwestern. They can drop that Michigan game and it won't matter whatsoever, because if they win the Western games, they'll be 7-2 in conference with a tiebreaker over everyone. So it's not a done deal yet, but Illinois is the best team in the West so far, and they are the most advantageous of the schedule remaining. What so impresses me about Illinois is it's classic Brett Bielema ball. They line up, you know, about 90% of the time, he's turning around and handing it to Chase Brown at 41 carries against the Gophers, 180 yards on 41 carries. And Coach mentioned Tommy DeVito. He is this sounds like a slight, being like he's a game manager, but he knows his role in the team. He's not taking risky shots. He is handling the ball well. Yeah.
Know your role. I hate the whole like game manager, you know.
No, thing. I know.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate that that's become such a negative connotation.
Yeah. But I mean, it's, you know, he knows that he's not going out there and passing 55 times. You know, he had 32 attempts, completed 25 of them. He's not, like I said, he's not gambling. He's not thrown into tight windows. He's just letting the plays develop, and he's just playing really, really, really smart ball. And with that running attack and Illinois' killer defense, DeVito's the perfect quarterback for this system.
I mean, no. I'll take his I did, game manager style any day.
I did read something interesting. It was that's like game manager. It was a random blog that was linked on Reddit. So this is not very verifiable, but it's interesting fodder for us to talk about. They said the most logical thing is at the end of the season, Kirk Ferentz rides off into the sunset.
And Brian Ferentz ascends to the throne of Iowa football.
No. The man with the Tiger Hawk comes home. Brett Bielema bounces on Illinois. Iowa's had more success recently.
After winning a Big Ten championship with Illinois.
It left for Arkansas after winning a Big Ten championship.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, Iowa.
Josh, I thought you were going to say they're going to hire Paul Christ.
No. But it's an interesting.
You're going to hire Coach Prime.
It's an interesting idea. When you look at the two programs, Iowa over the last 20 years has certainly been the more successful program. They have a larger stadium. They've done massive renovations to their stadium. They have a state-of-the-art facility. Illinois has put money back into their program, but definitely in terms of the pecking order of jobs, Iowa is undeniably a better job than Illinois. Does Brett bail, though? I don't know. That might be a bridge too far for me.
All right, with the 1 minute we have here, left here on week six, we haven't mentioned Michigan's just dismantling of Penn State yet, Josh, and you're a Big Ten guy. I mean, like,
no.
It's not, like, surprising, but the efficiency with which they did it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan actually struggled in the first half down in the red zone. They left some points out on the field, and I was getting worried. I was like, this has like a few sniffs of an upset potential if Michigan keeps scooting around like this. And then Michigan came out guns blazing in the second half, totally obliterated them. Hats off to Michigan for that. I don't know for me personally if JJ McCarthy has fully won me over yet. I think he still takes too many risks with ball security. I think that might bite him against Ohio State. We'll see in a few weeks. For Penn State, though, alarming issues. They are terrible in bye weeks under Franklin coming out.
Is Franklin the Gundy of the Big Ten?
Well,
it's not the worst comparison I've heard.
But it is pretty accurate for certain things. But yeah, it's poor coaching performance by Franklin. If he hadn't just gotten a massive extension, his seat would be an inferno right now. I know we're over time. Two games I just wanted to mention super quick. Tulane with a monster win in the American. They moved to 6-1. I think they've really asserted themselves as Cincinnati's biggest foe. And then the fight in Jerry Kills. New Mexico State scratched out their second win of the season, 2-5. But who did they beat? Their arch nemesis, the New Mexico Lobos. Awesome rivalry win. I think all of us love and respect Jerry Kill, and we wish nothing but success for him. And I think, for my money, the hardest job in America. So good job by you, Jerry Kill.
Well done.
Yeah.
Very, very absolutely. Well done. All right, guys, let's get into talking about some of this upcoming weekend's action in spread formations. Going to put a couple 15 minutes here on the clock, talk about some of the biggest games. And I alluded to one of them earlier. no, not quite, Josh. UCLA, Oregon. It's in Eugene. Ooh. Josh, the over under here is 69.5. Oregon is a 6-point favorite at home, and you know, it's my turn to go first this week. And you know what? My analysis on the game is that Oregon hasn't faced an offense nearly this caliber since they faced Georgia. Georgia lit them up. I think coming out of a bye week, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Zach Charbonnet, Coach Jake Bobo is like a very, very, very good football player, which is kind of scary. They're using him like they used Greg Dulcich as the tight end last year.
Yeah,
perfect, man. In that role. Mm. Give me UCLA, not just to cover, but to win outright. Ooh. Josh.
Ooh.
Well, you know stuff is serious when you break out the noise machine, and that's what UCLA's done in practice to get ready for this game. I am always curious, what is the Outson Stadium magic up there in Eugene? They're right down on the field. It was built on an old landfill. Crazy stadium environment up there. This one is tough. This one is so tough. I think I'm going to play it a pinch safe because I don't know about the spread. Don't have a good read on that one, but I am sensing a classic Pac-12 shootout reminiscent of USC Utah from a few days ago. I'm going to take the over.
That's a great choice. I think the over would definitely hit, but I'm taking UCLA on the other end of this shootout because I like the physical nature in which they play. I like Dorian Thompson-Robinson and the things they do with him and the things they do with Bobo and that receiving core. Chip Kelly's dialed in. And I think the Bruins are dialed in. This will be a tough road matchup for
them.
It'll
be tough, but you know what's impressed me the most is the evolution of the Bruins defense. They got a new defensive coordinator in there, and they've got a transfer at linebacker, Leiti Leitu, who might be the best defensive player in the Pac-12. He's been absolutely incredible for them. I love them in this spot, coming off of a bye week, 2 weeks of that loud noise at practice. Just give me the Bruins all the way. I'm throwing, you know, I'm obviously very biased towards this one. But let's talk about another one that I am biased towards. Syracuse, Clemson. It's in Death Valley. Clemson is a 13.5-point favorite here at home. Lines changed since I sent it to you guys. Actually, 49.5 over under. Now, I'm first here. I got a low scoring game. If Syracuse is going to win, they're going to try to bleed the clock with Sean Tucker and using Garrett Schrader's legs. I like Clemson to win a one score game, but give me the under overall, Josh.
Well, I kind of teased my pick earlier in the show. I think Clemson's going to win. It's a matter of how much. And in my personal gut feeling, you play this game about 10 times. Clemson probably wins 7 of them. And I would say of those 7, 5 of them are 2-plus touchdowns. So I'm going to take Clemson to cover.
I'm going to take Syracuse to cover. I don't, you know, win or lose, I think it's going to be a tight game. So, and I alluded to this earlier, but I just, for some reason, Clemson just has trouble with Syracuse. There's just too much orange in the house, I guess. I'm not real sure. But
yeah. See, Clemson's had trouble with Syracuse.
It's something.
At Syracuse.
It's something.
They have trouble
with them. Syracuse knocked out Trevor Lawrence, I think, the last time they were in Clemson. When Trevor Lawrence was there and they were in Clemson, they knocked out Trevor Lawrence.
Was it Trevor Lawrence who was it that got injured that transferred to Missouri that was ahead of Trevor Lawrence? I thought that was, maybe that was the game that...
No, that he came back, Kelly Bryant.
Yeah.
He came back into that game.
Okay.
Because the year before that was when it was a Friday night game and they beat Syracuse, beat Clemson in Syracuse. It was an ugly, ugly game. The next year, Clemson ended up winning, but it was way closer than anybody thought it would be.
All right, let's head to another team in orange, Oklahoma State hosting Texas, and get another team in orange. Texas, the lower ranked team, and they're on the road, but somehow they're still 6.5-point favorites, over under 62. Quinn Ewers has been playing really well lately, but I think that I still don't trust Sark, especially on the road. Oklahoma State getting points at home. Yeah, give me the pokes, Josh.
Texas needed massive assistance from the Zebras to beat the Cyclones by 3. I think you know where I'm going for this one. Okie State, I have them rolling. I've got them winning outright. I have, you know, you could have told me Okie State was favored by 6 and I would have still taken them. I think they're going to be super pissed about dropping the TCU game. And I think Hookem is in for a rude awakening in Stillwater.
Yeah, this is going to be ugly, ugly, ugly. A lot of chunk plays for the Pokes. give me the Pokes, especially at home, and the over. They might cover it themselves.
All right, let's stay in the Big 12. Kansas State at TCU. TCU is trying to stay undefeated. Kind of only 3.5-point favorite at home. I think that's kind of embarrassing, frankly, over under 55.5. TCU is a team on a mission. They're gonna win by, I think they win by 2 scores at least. So give me the Horned Frogs, Josh.
Ooh. Well, here you go. Is it a hangover for TCU? You know, they've read all these clippings. It's been a long week of a lot of smoke pushed right up their butts. And meanwhile, little old helpless Kansas State just been on the bye week, sitting up there in Manhattan stewing. I am taking the guy who's yet to throw an interception this year. Give me K-State with an upset because the Big 12 likes to cannibalize itself. I'll take the points. I think this will be, you know, the spread's only like 3, so it's almost a pick 'em. I've got K-State.
Coach.
I'm taking TCU on this one. I'm on the train. I think they're going to do it. I said they were going to do it last week, and they did. I think they're going to do it again this week. Give me the Horned Frogs.
Oh, speaking of which, I forgot to give our records last week. Coach, you had an all-timer, 6-1 last week.
Oh,
well done, sir.
Which one did I lose?
The only one, Coach, that you lost was you were on Mississippi State -7 at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Josh, 3-4. I had a week to forget at 1-6. My strategy was to pick unders last week, and there were a bunch of overs except for the Syracuse game. That's the only one I got right. Syracuse.
You silly. The only unders to take are the Iowa unders.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. So coach is
yawning over there like Brian Ferentz.
Coach is on.
you mentioned Iowa, and I'm
me and Coach are on TCU. Mississippi TCU, State at Alabama, both teams need to rebound after tough road losses to SEC East foes. Alabama 21 point favorite at home, over under 60. I'm going with the over in this one. I see lots and lots and lots of points, Josh.
Sorry, Mississippi State. Every year, they are the team that has to play Alabama after their first loss. I got the Tide coming out refocused, super angry. I know it's 3 touchdowns in a conference game. I know Will Rogers can move the ball effectively, but I just think Saban's been ripping into them for a week, and they're going to be angry and ready to play. I got the Tide.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games where you're at halftime going, okay, maybe I should have picked Mississippi State. And then by the end of it, you're like, okay, I'm glad I didn't pick Mississippi State, because Bama is going to freaking roll in this one. They're going to be tired of hearing about how trash they are, although they had to deal with this distraction that Jermaine Burton punched some girl in the head.
Did he really?
Store the field. Yeah, there's some video out there. I don't know, like, it's all blurry. You can't really see anything, but it doesn't look promising for Jermaine Burton.
That is not good. Not good at all. But we've had the storming the field talk on this podcast before. We don't need to rehash it here. Let's finish it off with the no longer winless Colorado Buffs. They are still terrible enough to make Oregon State a 23.5-point favorite at home. Oof. With an over-under of 50 in Corvallis. But still, before I even pick this game, Josh, quickly, we didn't even mention, what is happening with Cal and Justin Wilcox?
He's just not that good of a coach, I think, is the simple answer.
He should just go back to coordinating defenses.
I mean, he was a great defensive coordinator. Some of those Cal teams were fun, but my God, they are terrible.
He and David Shaw had a private bet as to see who could get fired first. And David Shaw messed up by somehow beating Notre Dame.
Well, no, what happened was that neither of them can afford the housing prices in the Bay Area anymore. They needed that severance payout that they get when they're fired. Like, my goodness, God, that is terrible. Like, I don't know. It's almost as bad as the Virginia and Virginia Tech, like those two teams in the Bay Area. I don't know how Sam. Oh, God. Notre Dame's a mess, too. Notre Dame is a freaking joke on the field. They don't have an offense. But Colorado, Oregon State, let's get back to the matter at hand. I have no handle on this. And when I don't have a handle, I'm going to default to going on the under. So I'm taking the under on this one.
Yeah, so let's run through Oregon State, because they've quietly been plugging along. They dropped those two games in the middle of the season. USC, by three. Utah beat them up quite handily, but those are two of the better teams in the conference, so certainly no shame in dropping those two games. They beat Boise. They beat a healthy Fresno. They beat a really good FCS team in Montana State. They went on the road and knocked off that Stanford team that just managed to beat Notre Dame, and they won by two scores against a really solid Washington State team, a team that I think we all respect. Oregon State, they're coming along. I like their progression. I think that they are going to dominate this game, and despite the win and getting off the schneid, I am not a believer in anything Colorado is doing, although I will say Owen McCown has certainly solved their quarterback play issues. But yeah, I'm going to take the Beavers.
I have no clue about either of these two teams and what they bring to the table, but I guess the future Fighting Matt rules are just on the wrong end of a 24-point spread. So I'm just going to go ahead and take the Beavs in this one. Don't really know why. If you're to the point where you're listening to me about whether or not to pick the Beavers minus 24,
Coach, you went 6-1 last week, man. Like,
I know. This might be my one this week.
All right. Well, Josh, any other games you want to talk about for the upcoming weekend that you're looking forward to?
Actually, one we didn't get to from last week, Matt, I'm surprised you didn't bring it up. You are our resident Jackrabbit man, and they
pulled off quite the win.
A little win in the Fargo Dome. Do you want to tell us about that huge Missouri Valley Football Conference game?
I mean, I don't want to call it a changing of the guard, but it was a game that the Jacks needed. Like I felt like, you know, they've had upsets before, but to do it in the Fargo Dome, I think this sort of sends a message that, you know, they might be taking over that. They're close to taking over. They're on par. I think they are on par basically now with North Dakota State. And, you know, especially with James Madison having moved up to the FBS level. Now, North Dakota State needs that second team. And it this time it's going to happen to come from their conference. And South Dakota State has been at this level for a while, but they are now here to stay as, you know, the 1B to North Dakota State's 1A. That's my takeaway from the game.
Yeah. Yep. To answer your original question, though, any other games? We've not talked much about the MAC. Huge, huge, huge MAC matchup. Toledo, 5-2 on the road at a plucky 4-3 Buffalo team. Something to keep an eye on if you're looking
both,
for some.
By the way, both undefeated in conference right now. Both teams 3-0 in the MAC.
Indeed. That's on ESPN Plus for those of you subscribers out there.
Absolutely. All right. Coach, you got any final words before we sign off here?
No. Happy 300th episode.
Happy 300th episode, gentlemen. It as always, it's been an honor to be on with you guys. So until next week, until it's the 301st edition, where we actually will be having a special guest on the show. I think we can go ahead and announce it now. We have a former LSU quarterback, Josh Booty, will be joining us for a segment next week, which we will be calling Booty, 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 Rockin' Everywhere. And it will be a lot of fun. So I hope you guys will tap in for that on the Believe Network and Mike Farrell Sports. So on behalf of...
We'll make sure we treat him like family.
We are absolutely going to be asking him about... Coach
Welcome
Kelly's
to
accent.
The family. I do declare.
You mean Coach Boudreaux Kelly? I don't know Brian Kelly. I only know Coach Boudreaux Kelly.
I'm Coach Boudreaux Kelly, and I do declare that this is a great atmosphere for all the families.
Did Lou Holtz have a southern accent when he was at South Carolina? How would that have sounded like?
Of course he did.
I once spent time in Arkansas, man. This is great. And South Carolina. They let me wear a beaver hat right then. We went 0-11 at South Carolina.
I like
South Carolina. I ripped Smith papers up. I re-ripped up Smith papers there, and I paved the way for Steve Spurrier at South Carolina. That's good old boys.
And that gentlemen, on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach Corey Burton in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook, up there in Chicago, Illinois, this is the Professor Emeritus, Matt Perkins, in Nashville, Tennessee. Saying so long, and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast / I don't want to say mocking voices, mimicking voices show.
So long and see you later, everybody.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.